You want to help other people and get other jobs done. So I have no problem.
Do you like each other? Let me ask you this. Do you like your opponents?
We'll
get the senator first since he's talking at the moment.
Well, I must say, in all fairness and honesty, that Mr. D'Amato really did rile me. I'm sure I'll get over it, but he really did rile me. And Elizabeth Holtzman I've known for many years, and I have no problems with her. And I hope I will like Mr. D'Amato, too. But I would be less than honest if I didn't tell you that the way that this was handled really got to me.
What about you? Do you like your opponents?
I think I've grown to have an increased respect for Senator Javits in the rough and tumble of his campaign and his conduct of the campaign.
What about the lady?
I think that there have been those things that I would rather not say, because Mom said, if you don't have good things to say, sometimes keep your mouth quiet, Al. And so I'm going to keep quiet.
Congresswoman Holtzman?
Well, Senator Javits and I have worked in the past in the Congress, and I think we've worked well together. And I think he knows that I'm an able person, and I try to work hard. Actually, the problems are very serious. And to represent this state effectively, either in the House of Representatives or the Senate, requires a lot of diligence and hard work.
What your visceral feelings are about Al D'Amato?
Well, I think after having debated Mr. D'Amato a number of times in this race, I think people will have a good idea of the feelings that I have towards him.
You're being very subtle.
Well, sometimes I am.
Okay, we've reached the end of this hour, and we'll take you alphabetically. And I'll ask each of you if you have any last message you'd like to give to the voters. Just look directly into the camera and tell them how you feel and what you want. And this time I will hold a stopwatch on you.
Abe, I think that people want to change. I think the forgotten middle class is a real thing. I think the taxpayers and workers and the business entrepreneurs feel that with the inflation, with the taxation policies that exist today, that they can no longer make it. They can't educate their children, put aside some savings. Our senior citizens are being forced to flee this state. They want to change. They're very discontent when they can't walk the streets in safety, and they see a government cutting back in terms of priorities, cutting back on law enforcement funds, cutting back on drug funds, and yet building a social empire that rewards people for no work and penalizes taxpayers and workers. And they want a strong America and a strong defense. And the fact of the matter is, I haven't been in Congress these 8, 10, 12 years of building a social empire and a bureaucratic system that does not reflect and get aid to this great city and this great state, that indeed penalizes productivity. And indeed, I believe when we talk about a strong America, we have to be shocked when we see men in the military who have to support their family by the way of food stamps. That's not voting for a strong America.
Time's up. Congresswoman Holtzman.
I entered this race because I had deep confidence in the good judgment of the people of this state. I think they want in the senator, a person who's got a proven record of integrity, someone who's willing to work hard on their behalf, and someone who's willing to stand up and fight for them. People in this state know that I've stood up to presidents, I've stood up to the bureaucracy, I've stood up to special interests, I'm prepared to fight the oil companies. I've been attacked for doing that. But as senator, I will fight for them. People know that the oil companies have their lobbyists in Washington, and the insurance companies have their lobbyists in Washington, and the banks have their lobbyists in Washington. I will be the lobbyist for the people, and I will be their fighter. And I also am a candidate who comes to this race knowing that the strength of a representative in Washington is based on willingness to listen to people. And I have, throughout my career in Congress and throughout this campaign, talked to people, but mostly listened to them around the state. And I know how desperate they are for someone they can respect, for someone who they know will not sell out either on personal integrity or on willingness to stand up to the special interests. That's why I am confident about the outcome on November 4th.
Thank you. Senator Javits.
I have stayed in this race indefatigably because I believe the people have given me an asset which is their asset, to wit, the asset of stature, the asset of experience, the asset of seniority and power, which it translates into, and the asset, I believe, of their support. It's necessary to have a united state. And they're bedeviled today, seriously threatened with inflation and with even a threat of war. And I have acquired all these assets for them. And it seems shameful, really, that this is the moment when they can be used to the greatest effect for them. And I'm asking them to let me do it for them. That's what this whole campaign comes down to. Every specification you've just heard is a specification that fits me. So what are we looking for? You've got it right here. All you have to do is enable it to continue. And that's why I've in conscience been compelled, because there was no other way for me to continue in this race.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you all. May the best person win. Stay tuned to end.
This is Alan Nicholson in New York City with Senator Javits. Senator Javits stressed Alphonse D'Amato's involvement in the Nassau County kickback scheme in today's debate aired in New York City today. The cut runs 31 seconds and begins on my count. 3, 2, 1.
I don't think you can kiss off this Nassau County Republican machine so lightly, or Mr. D'Amato's involvement in it, which is very real. You know, there's a great political adage. When you go along, you get along. And going along is a real test of a politician, especially with his own political organization. And Mr. D'Amato went along. Let's not kid about that. He knew all about it. He wrote a letter about it himself, and he admitted that. And I think the public ought to know that and weigh it in the balance.
This is a statement by Albert Shanker and Tom Hobart. The following is all in quotes. We endorsed Jack Javits before the Republican primary and continue to support him even after he lost. Jack Javits has been an extraordinary senator, the best, and we believe with many others that his 24 years of experience and seniority uniquely equip him to serve the people of New York State. However, everything now indicates that Senator Javits has no chance of winning on Tuesday, and reality now dictates another course. We have therefore today polled the NYSET Board of Directors throughout the state. Their support is overwhelming for Elizabeth Holtzman, and we are accordingly getting the message to all our members that they are urged to vote for her on Tuesday. The reasons are abundantly clear. Liz Holtzman has a perfect record in the Congress on the issues of crucial importance to us, on education policy and funding, on jobs, labor law reform, and other vital labor matters, on help for New York City and New York State, on social programs. Her votes will be identical with those of Senator Javits. Today, many of these issues are decided by just a few votes. Every vote is necessary to us. The winner of the Republican primary is unacceptable to our members. He has no experience which qualifies him for the Senate, and moreover is running on a platform which is against everything we stand for. We believe that those who care about our city and state, those who are concerned with the education of our children, those sympathetic to working men and women, will reject Mr. D'Amato at the polls on Tuesday and elect Liz Holtzman as our next senator. We have two additional wishes that we hope will be fulfilled. The first is that the president will find some appropriate way to use the extraordinary talents, capabilities, and wisdom of Jack Javits in the continued interests of the nation he has served so well. Jack Javits is a national treasure. We still need him. The second is that the people of New York State come to realize what the South has known all along. Seniority counts. With it come the influence and power that our state needs. We hope, therefore, that Liz Holtzman will not only be elected this Tuesday, but that she will serve with distinction and be reelected at regular six-year intervals for the foreseeable future. We hope she, like Jack Javits, will come to be indispensable for our state and nation. Period. End quote.
Are you ready?
I think so, son.
Well, he's got a problem. Are you ready?
I'm fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you very much for coming. I'm embarking on a day's trip, which will take me to Buffalo and Rochester, and then back to New York. I have campaign engagements in both cities, and naturally, you want to ask me questions about the polls, etc., which I'll gladly answer. It seems to me it'll be easier for all of us if you simply ask the question.
Senator, the polls say you haven't got a prayer.
Well, the polls say that. I've read them. They say I'm trailing badly, as a matter of fact. And I accept their views, but I made a decision that I'd await the people's verdict. And so I will await the people's verdict, and that'll come tomorrow. And I knew that when I made that decision. So I don't know that there's anything else I can do.
Senator, is staying in the race as you have will contribute to the election of Al D'Amato, will mean the election of Al D'Amato?
I really don't, because I believe that I submitted myself to the people on the basis of getting their verdict, and that goes way back to February. And obviously, it's a decision that I had to make, that this is the way that I would hope the people would let me know that they do or don't want me. There is no substitute for their vote tomorrow that I can see.
Senator, you're a pragmatic politician.
Right.
From all that you've seen, though, is there something that you are hoping for, something that we don't know or the polls don't know about the people's vote?
Well, something that you don't know and the polls don't know is how the people will vote when they get in the polls.
Right. But, I mean, is there something that...
I have no secret weapons.
You don't have
the only thing I have going is a tremendous recognition factor, much as that is of the President of the United States, and 24 years of service, which can be of such inestimable value to the people of this state that I just don't feel that I'm the one to junk it. I think they have to. And from the looks of the polls, they probably will. But this will be their decision. I cannot make the decision for them.
Senator, within a week or so after the primary, right, in which your party denied you its designation, it was apparent that amongst the three, you were trailing and you were trailing badly. Your figures haven't changed very much in either direction.
Right.
In retrospect, would you have considered 2 weeks after the primary, let's say, thinking that if this is the best I can do, I will withdraw?
In retrospect, I may have done that, but it's only retrospect. So much history has flowed under the bridge. So many people have supported me. So much money has been spent. And I've so committed myself to a verdict which would be the people's verdict that I cannot do anything else.
But, Senator, there are those who are going to say that if D'Amato does win, as the polls indicate, that you are to blame. Accepting the blame?
Well, I do not accept the blame because I own nobody's vote. The people will vote as they determine they should vote. And you've seen the controversy which was engendered by the New York Times editorial, which on both sides of that issue. And as I say, having been here so long and having vested my faith in the people, I must assume that they will make the decision that they wish to make. And I've made it very clear, and I'll make it clear again, that I'm not going to be mad at anybody who doesn't vote for me. I urge the people to vote their real choice, whatever they wish. They don't have to vote for me in order to thank me for services. I've been thanked by their affection, by their support, and I feel very good about them. So I have no way of telling them do or don't vote for me or anybody else. They will do it, and I think they'll do it wisely and well.
Senator, but at this point, less than 24 hours before the polls open, do you have any real vision of being reelected?
Of course, that's always possible. I would be, I wouldn't be realistic if I didn't say that's always possible.
But
it doesn't look likely, but it's always possible.
Senator, what's
and it's my duty, as I said before, to give them the opportunity, which I'm doing.
Senator, what's your reaction to Al Shanker's working with the
court? I was disappointed, but I can understand it. I was disappointed. I would not deny that. But I was disappointed.
Senator, if this is your last hurrah as a senator, and your last 2 days, so to speak, and the American...
Well, I'll have a few months, I hope.
The New York State is changing from someone like you to someone like D'Amato. What does that tell you about the...
Well, I think, for one, you're taking the D'Amato victory for granted, and I don't think the figures justify that. Whatever I may say about the polls and whatever you may say about the polls, the fact is that you have got two candidates who are very closely running about neck and neck, so can't assume that. Now, what's your question?
My question is the state turning to the right? What do you see?
I have no idea whether the state will turn that far to the right. And in addition, I think Mr. D'Amato leaves much to be desired, even if the state turned to the right. He's got this aura of this very Tammany Hall-type political machine. around his head, and he has the aura of the kickbacks from employees, which surrounds the situation as far as he's concerned. And he's completely inexperienced, and his whole training has not led him in this direction at all.
Why do you think
the best you can say about the motto is that he did manage to capture the nomination, which produced for him $750,000, which was supposedly to be reserved for me. And I think it was a very generous provision because I stood very high with my colleagues in the Senate. And so he has used the media to fare thee well. And that has been apparently a very big asset for him. Well, that doesn't make him the right fellow to be senator. Not at all.
Does it make you bitter when all the Republicans except Jerry Ford drop you?
Well, Jerry Ford's a pretty good endorsement. I don't think they've dropped me at all. I really don't. I did not win the primary. That was a contest, and I'm a politician, and I had to accept the result, dismaying as it was. And then the party regularity took over, and everybody went with the fellow who was the winner because he was the party's nominee. I can't complain about it. I consider myself a very solid Republican, and I'll take my place back again, I hope, without any question, I will, as a Republican, as traditionally I've been for all the years I've been in, not only in public, but in private life. I've been a Republican since 1932. That's not an orientation that you shake off in one campaign.
Senator, with the background you've ascribed to Al D'Amato, can you give us, should he become the next senator, can you give us any idea of what this is going to mean to our standing as a state in the United States Senate?
Well, I think the Senate will lose a great asset from New York that New York had, and I think that there's proof the other way. The team of the senators from New York, which is considered to be one of the best, perhaps the best, in the Senate, is going to be very, very seriously fractured. And I think it's going to be harmful to our state.
Can Pat Moynihan get along with Al D'Amato the way he's got along with Jake Javits?
He's a pretty solid citizen, and he's a pretty colorful character. And I think he'll do his best, and probably if it should be Mr. D'Amato, which I'm not prepared for a moment to agree to. D'Amato will do his best, but they're not very comparable characters. Their ideas are very different, and I doubt very much that it will be the same thing.
Senator, if the polls are correct and you do not win the election,
yeah,
and Liz Holtzman still has a chance, do you have a preference between Liz Holtzman and
I cannot do that. I cannot pick among the two candidates. I'm a candidate myself, and I'm still there and will be voted on tomorrow. So I can't choose between the candidates. I don't wish to.
Is there anything you think you could have done since the primary besides get a lot more money?
Yes, I could have gotten a lot more money. And I suppose I could have stayed awake more hours and worked more hours and tried very hard to emulate the schedules which I've kept in other campaigns. But that would have been, I think, a jeopardy to my ability to do the job. So I tried to follow a course which was reasonable for me on that score. And so I really have no regrets except the financial side, where if we had been able to raise $2 million, which is would have been the optimum figure, and saturate the airwaves, we might have done much better. But you must remember that there are limitations in running on the ticket of one of the two minority, or three now, minority parties. And those limitations are very real, and no one knows them better than I.
If you were not in the race, don't you think that Liz Holtzman would be much farther ahead of D'Amato? We wouldn't even considering possibly.
I'm not so sure about that, and I could hardly speculate on it, but you must remember this. that there are a great many Republicans who support me, too. Remember, I got 44% of the vote in the primary, in which I lost. And so I don't think the trade-off would have been beneficial to Ms. Holtzman. It might indeed have been adverse to her rather than beneficial. Because if you look at the figures upstate, you find that I've had very important, obviously, Republican strength. That's where it is. So that is, I mean, that's the fiction, I think, that has been engaged in by the New York Times and some other writers. It is a fiction, in my opinion. I don't believe that I would have done Liz Holtzman any good. I might have done her harm, as a matter of fact.
Senator, 10 years ago, the state was faced with a very similar, parallel kind of thing.
Yeah.
You had two moderate liberals who were seeking an honor, wound up electing one of the conservative senators this state of the central Washington.
Right.
What happened to New York State's representation in the Senate at that time where you were the other half? And is it likely to repeat itself this time?
Well, if D'Amato was elected, it probably will repeat itself in the sense of the actual vote which is cast. Though I really credit Jim Buckley with a certain intellectual ability to deal with the issues, which may not be emulated by D'Amato if he should win it. So I think that the votes are very likely to be the same at the voting end. But the reasoning and the argued support may not be of the same quality.
Intellectual level may be a little lower.
That's correct. That's correct. Well, thank
Senator,
you all.
Yeah. One more question. Sure. Looking beyond, speaking about your preferences and looking beyond this race, if in fact you don't win, would your preference be to remain in public life, or would your preference be to go to private life? In other words, would you seek a job from whatever administration?
I have not evaluated my options at all. I really haven't thought about it at all, except to say that I would practice law and teach. And I will not either include in or rule out a public job. I really don't know. None has been offered to me. And as I stand now, I've worked so hard and I'm so tired that right now I don't want to even think about a preference because I'll probably pick the wrong one.
Senator, there has been some talk that you might conceive of yourself, assuming that Mr. Reagan is elected, as Ronald Reagan's Averell Harriman. Do you see yourself in that role?
Let's leave that to Ronald Reagan and to me.
Senator, any comment on the hostage situation that's bearing on the election?
I believe that if the hostages are released, and that would take a miracle today, because as I said when we first this matter was discussed with me by the State Department, it's going to take quite a negotiation to work out. But I believe even if they were released today, it would not have a decisive effect on the campaign. It would have an effect pro Carter, probably, but not a decisive effect. I think the campaign has pretty well been decided, just like I think the, and that's why, I understand the questions and their purpose, but I believe the New York City campaign, the New York State campaign, the Senate, has been pretty well decided already. The only thing I'm very glad to have cleared up this morning was this theory that if I had withdrawn from the race, Elizabeth Holtzman would walk away with it. That's not true at all. Matter of fact, as I say, she may very well have done worse. So I don't think that a decisive effect from the hostages is possible based on present developments. But I'm delighted to see that the president has now accepted the concept of these conditions as a means of getting the hostages released. And as I will continue in the session to come on November 12, as the ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee, and will be very intimately consulted, I will do my best to participate in an intelligent way in order to get the hostages released.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, everybody.
How can this government agree to the other two things?
It can't.
The release of
it can't.
Assets.
And all it can do is underwrite for a given sum Let us say there are $8 billion. I think it's six, but anyhow. Let's say either figure, six or eight.
We have 268 lawsuits.
I know. Let's say that all that these figures mean that so much is frozen. The United States could agree to a figure as a basic minimum, and the rest would have to be subject to the litigation. The United States might gain in that or might lose. You never would know.
Excuse me, Senator.
But we certainly can't, we certainly couldn't agree and accept these conditions and say send them home.
We pay off the lawsuits, is what you're saying?
No. I didn't say any such thing. I said the most that could happen is the United States would agree to some minimal figure that they will realize out of the frozen fund. That's all we can agree.
But not the lawsuits. The lawsuits are, what are they?
We can't compromise.
We can't do anything.
268
lawsuits.
We can get the Senator out of here. That's right.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What's a real republic? Is a real Republican one who wants to repeal the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, who is for a constitutional amendment to prohibit abortion, who is against the ERA, these qualifications, who wants prayer in the public schools? Is that a real Republican, or is it a member of a band of 10 senators, the ultra-conservatives of the Republican side of the Senate, whose reaction to every issue is predictable? When those fellas walk down the aisle, almost every time, I can tell you how they're going to vote. There's nothing magic about it. Is that what we want in the Senate of the United States, plus a total lack of experience, and even, as I see it now, the temperament which is required if you're going to win over 51 of 100 highly temperamental men. So that's my answer.
But you've almost described, with some exception, the Republican Party.
Well, that's perfectly all right. I haven't. I don't endorse every plank of the Republican platform. Some are good, some are bad. I'll tell you the good one. I've told you the bad ones, okay? The plank on the Middle East is very good. And the plank on business's place in the American society and business's opportunity in the American economy is very good. Those, to me, by the way, highly preponderate in the weight which is to be given to a platform this year, considering the fact that they deal with our problems. And I believe the Republican platform on inflation is much better platform than the Democratic platform, because pouring more dough into this thing, which is, you know, what it comes down to, governmental dough, I don't see that that's going to deal with the basic problem of American productivity or industrial obsolescence.
Senator,
I think it's just the other way.
Just related to that question, would it be correct, do you think, for perspicacious observers to believe that in a way your race against the motto is a referendum on whether or not moderate to liberal Republicans like yourself this day now belong in the Republican Party? Is there a higher issue involved?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think the issue is whether I'm the best senator for New York and the most likely to win it for the Republican Party or not.
Senator.
I don't see it. I don't read any, you know, big ideological decisions into it any more than Goldwater reads it into it. He feels that, as you know, he's done a commercial for me, and which he says he and the other Republicans want me. And only one signature did not appear on that letter. That was Jesse Helms of South Carolina.
Senator, you have built up a great deal of respect in the field of foreign policy from Democrats and Republicans. And you've built up this expertise over the years in the Senate. Now all of a sudden, your opponents are saying, well, what's he done for New York? Do you think that this preoccupation with the Frost Belt, Sun Belt controversy is maybe overshadowing some foreign policy areas?
I think it's a real test. The Frost, I don't know that it's overshadowed. You know, can't overshadow peace and war.
no matter how hard you try. But I think it's a real question, because the tables are now reversed. And we, for years, put out, you know, we'll take less, we don't need it as much, and so on. We'll be, you know, great benefactors of our country, and we'll favor the South and the Southwest. Now it's time to try to get some of that back, because we are the ones who are having big economic trouble. And it's going to take even more skill, and more diplomacy, and more friendships, and more influence, and more credit cards to get something out of senators who've got something they already have. They don't have to give it up, and ask them to give some of it up. So if anything, it seems to me, I can do a lot better in this field than a new man who hasn't been there at all and doesn't even know about these issues. Very simplistic.
Well, what about foreign policy? I mean, that seems not to be an issue in this campaign. How would you contrast your views to those of Mr. D'Amato?
I don't know what Mr. D'Amato's views are. I have only one clue, and that is he's against the fact that I voted to ratify, not only that I voted, I was one of the principal protagonists of ratifying the Panama Canal Treaty. And that's one of the best votes I ever cast. Because having lived with the Latin American problem, a small matter of almost 40 years. I first started in 1941 just before we ran into Pearl Harbor. In the summer of 41, to be exact, I know now, and I knew then, that we would lose all of Latin America in terms of alliance and dependability if we didn't make some other arrangement for the Panama Canal. It would have been a disaster. I traveled the whole area about 6 months before we finalized the negotiation. And I came back and reported to my committee. It's, you know, it's a written report.
He also picks on you on SALT too. I mean, he did with us talking about
sure,
you.
Sure. Well, as I tell you, that's the band of 10 or 12 senators who've thrown their bodies across the railroad tracks to prevent the United States from realizing on a cap on the nuclear arms race. Now,
but it's also the position of your presidential candidate. I'm sorry to be so repetitive.
No, let me,
but we come back to Panama Canal, D'Amato stands with Reagan, you don't. SALT II, D'Amato stands with Reagan, you don't. 55 miles an hour the same.
Right
down the line, and you say, well, on inflation they're better, and on the Middle East they're better. You know, where's the balance lying?
You do not have that kind of a system in our country. You do not have a system which requires or even makes it desirable for a Republican to be against everything the Democrats are for, and vice versa.
Right.